Welcome.
Ray and Kay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball, some tennis. Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today. I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Ray's not with us, taking care of family business. Hopefully he'll be back Friday with a huge announcement for our audience. But let's jump right into it. The question of the day for our Urban Daily audience and their Radio 1 affiliates and everybody listening: are or can the 3-1 Dallas Cowboys finally make the playoffs? Big win. We'll jump into Sunday Night Football. A lot of breaking news, too. But the Cowboys did it. And I want you guys to know that this is what they need to do. Remember when they won with the Great Wall in the 90s with the triplets? Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Michael, and Troy Aikman, they had a great offensive line. Eric Williams, Larry Allen, all those guys. Well, these guys are good. Fredericks, the big left tackle. You know, they drafted Zach Martin from Notre Dame. DeMarco Murray is on pace. He had, what, 149 last night, ran for over 100 yards in all four games. He's on pace to break, not Adrian Peterson, Eric Dickerson's record. Okay, so be mindful of that. We'll get to some other guys on great paces in the NFL. Busy week one. NASCAR, shout out to Jeff Gordon. We saw Tony Stewart, his speech. Look, he didn't try to kill a guy. Let's let it to rest. Let Tony Stewart come back. It's an accident. The kid shouldn't have got out of the car. It's sad. Tragedy all the way around. Jeff Gordon, they eliminate some guys. They move on. Jeff Gordon, whose race pick has won in NASCAR, as they go from 16 to 12 guys, right? So we got a lot going on there. Baseball, playoffs. We'll talk about – we won't predict everything today. Ray sent in his picks. I'll bring that to you for the wild card. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Garnier, the manager of the Twins, gone, fired. 15 years or 13 years of the Twins, he's gone. You know, hey, the Twins have got to rebuild baseball. Now you got a bunch of other stuff. E.J. Manuel, who I apologized to on the show, said I'm sorry to, but I think my first instincts were correct. So we need a new segment. I'm going to talk to Ray about it, but like I told you so. And Kyle Orton is now the starting quarterback, who they were paying $11 million for 2 years to come in and be a high-priced backup. E.J. Manuel is not accurate. You heard Jaws say it on ESPN. You've heard a lot of people say it, but you see it. He's got Mike Williams, Sammy Watkins, Scott Chandler, C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson, great receiving running backs out of the backfield. He is not accurate. And Kyle Orton, he's no star. He's Kyle Orton. He's a backup, just like McCown, who got benched. Glennon starting the rest of the season, upset my Steelers. We'll talk about that later. But the reality is, you know, Buffalo fans, the AFC East is for taking. You know, Miami's got, what, 2 wins. We'll see what the Patriot does tonight. Jets 1-3. Ugh, Geno probably needs to get benched for Vic. But, you know, everybody looks at Vic like, oh, it's Vic. No, it's not the same Vic. He's fragile and he's older. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, like we've seen with Cutler years ago, they don't have any weapon. So if you don't get your quarterback a weapon, yeah, Jason Morrow is nice. I like Eric Decker. But to be honest with you, the Jets don't have weapons. So you can't talk about what Geno can do or can't do if he doesn't have, you know, Jeremy Curley is the second receiver. So let's slow down on ripping Geno. And, you know, he, you know, cursed at the fans. The fans probably cursed at him, inappropriate. Not acceptable, can't do it, whatever. But I think, you know, we're entering an era where we're so quick to get rid of these guys or bench them. And you can, you know, I don't know about their psyche, but hey, E.J. Manuel's got like a psyche guy coaching him or whatever. You know, that's not something to joke about. You don't know if he has mental issues, but his confidence. I think Kyle Orton will last for a couple of weeks, and then, you know, they'll get back to E.J. Manuel, which might be good for him. Sometimes you need to sit and watch, look at Aaron Rodgers, you know, who, by the way, R-E-L-A-X, relax, went to Chicago, chewed them up. Jordy Nelson, fantasy football, got busy for me. Thank you very much. So, you know, we got a lot going on. We'll get into some college football, some good games over the weekend, and then some MLB playoffs and the NFL. These NBA training camp press conferences are interesting with Derrick Rose and different guys like that or whatever. We'll get to the NBA. Trust me, we got a lot of talk about trade rumors, Hibbert to the Cavs. I wouldn't do it. We'll see what happens. But I think we got a caller, and Oren might jump on with me and co-pilot from down in D.C. since my boy Ray's not here. Oren, is that you? You with me?
That's right. What's going on?
Oh, man. I'm just, you know, listen, it's a busy, busy sports day. And there's so much going on. Want to obviously get into some of the good games in college football over the weekend. You know, Friday, Ray and I are going to preview the whole baseball playoffs, but we got to talk about the wild card. He sent in his picks. But I want to ask you, because I kind of threw it out there in the beginning, and can the Cowboys, Ray's Cowboys, rest in peace to our boy Kwame Ohene Frempong's Cowboys, my cousin Tom's Cowboys, my stepbrother Jonas's Cowboys, our boy LeMaine Fisher's Cowboys, Tony Watson's Cowboys. Can the Cowboys, can the 3-1, the 8-8 forever Cowboys finally make the playoffs? Oren, you say what, baby? Come on.
You know, I'm shocked to say this, but I think they got a good shot. You know, if DeMarco Murray keeps on balling like he is, it's going to be hard to keep him out of there. I mean, he's leading.
He leads the league
in rushing, all the
running backs. And he's on pace to break AP and Eric Dickerson's rushing record. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's scary. That's amazing, and I'm just scary. Like, these are the Cowboys?
But you know what's so funny?
And Tony Romo's balling, too.
He is, but you know what's funny? People laughed at him, but guess what? They didn't go for the temptation of drafting Johnny Manziel. They got the offensive lineman. The last couple of years, they took offensive lineman. The center, the guard, the left tackle, Smith, who's a stud now. Right now, they probably, if we're being honest, Oren, them and the Niners, which we predicted what would happen, and they got back to smash mouth football. Can we just chill out with the opening up the offense? Because let's pound the rock. That's how you win. Well, the Cowboys, they have probably top three easily best offensive lines in football. And if you Murray holds on to the rock, and if he gets over 100 yards a game, what that does is it opens up play-action pass. You can throw to Witten. You can throw to the second wide receiver, Terrence Williams, who's looking pretty good, killing me in fantasy, and I got a loss because of him. And then number one receiver, Dez Bryant, gets a little bit more opening because you got to worry about them handing the rock. The safety's got to drop in. Because DeMarco Murray, he's a much better than average running back. If he keeps his pace, not only could he get Eric Dickerson's record, but he has potential to be, if he stays healthy, the best running back in the NFL. The kid is fast, elusive. He's got power. DeMarco Murray's great. And we remember him, at Oklahoma. He was a good back. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I can't stand the Cowboys, but, we both have to admit, as football fans, they're looking pretty good. So let me ask you this. I don't know if you're too big on it. I mean, you know, both of us are fathers. We got kids. Saturdays are busy time with the children. But we got to talk some college football. And what's fascinating, you know, the ratings come out every Tuesday. So that hasn't changed. And then I think either this week or next week, whatever week, the committee meets. And they'll decide the official top 25 for the new committee that's going to have finally a playoff. You know, about time college football gets it right. So we finally applaud them. It's, you know, only 30 years too late. You know, college basketball's been doing it great for years. But at least they'll have a 14 playoff. I'd like them to get to 8. I think 8's the magic number. You know what I mean? But 4, I think, will be good. But I was really impressed with down there in Jerry's World. They had a big weekend. And Arkansas, I got to say, the SEC, which Ray dubbed the NFL Southeast, which is that's how good the SEC is. I mean, Arkansas played their butts off. Texas A&M had to come storming back. They win 35-28 in overtime. And this kid, Kenny Hill, you know, everybody wants to be a Manziel or, you know, internet social media darling. So he's got this name, Kenny Hill Trill or Kenny Trills. I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, brother, please. But anyway, Texas A&M, big win and a big game, 386 yards, four touchdowns for Kenny Hill. So what do you think about Texas A&M? And finally, can we give the brother, Kevin Sumlin, some props as head coach? I think he's a pretty good head coach. Good win for them.
Oh, definitely.
SEC. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. He needs to get his props. It probably will still take him a couple more of these type of wins, but he definitely deserves it. You know, just what he's done with that program. But, yeah, you know, I'm glad that, like you said, I'm glad that college football is starting to get it right with this playoffs, how they starting to get that a little bit better, because it always seemed like real good teams getting left out. But, yeah, Texas A&M looked good. I mean, that was a great game. I mean, you know, we can't forget our Terps either. That was a way to wake up the Big Ten.
Can I tell you?
I'm
going to talk about that. I've been really into Maryland Terrapin football, and, you know, shout out to all the famous alums, Scott Van Pelt, Boomer Esiason, Neil O'Donnell, who gave the Super Bowl to the Cowboys, you know, different Maryland quarterbacks, Frank Reich. But I'll tell you this, Maryland, Vernon Davis, Torrey Smith, but Maryland football is back in a good way. This kid, Stephon Diggs, is going to be an NFL player. He's going to play on Sundays. I was tweeting that out and out to Tigger and our boy Lamont and different people on the Maryland side. And, you know, every Saturday we kind of, you know, meet on Twitter. It's kind of cool. But honestly, that was huge. And I think Maryland, even though they had a rough loss, was it to West Virginia. A lot of people were saying they would go 4-4 in the Big Ten. Well, Michigan's an easy win, I think. The way Michigan's playing, that program's falling apart, a mess, and I'm a Michigan fan for football. But the Maryland Terrapins, remember, Indiana beat Missouri. Missouri just went to South Carolina and beat South Carolina 21-20, South Carolina was ranked number 13. So big win for Mizzou in SEC. But I'd like to see the Terps get close to the top 25 soon, and maybe one more Big Ten victory you know, coming up, and they'll be able to do so. Good. Do you like C.J. Brown, even though he got hurt and the backup quarterback played really well? I don't know. Do you like C.J. Brown, a quarterback from Maryland, and some of their players?
I like – he's not wowing me, but he's doing the job. You know, I think he's just doing – I think that they have a – you know, I've been following them somewhat, and I see they got – one thing I like about them, they don't have that – they don't quit. Sometimes I think that they just – like their momentum change, they have to just ride a high momentum. So when they get down a little bit, it's hard for them to get out of a hole. But when they start rolling, it's like then you start to see the true team come out. But they just got to keep up keep that pace up, because that's going to be, you know, the tough conference, a new conference for them, new teams they never played before. But they come out like they're against Indiana. You know, they got to have to play hard like that every game. But if they keep it up, we may be in the top 25. That'd be great.
That would be awesome. It would be awesome. And obviously the Big Ten brings big money. Now, just what you said about starting off slow and rolling, two schools that on Friday I mentioned array, there could be an upset alert, and both of them almost happened. Washington over Stanford. Stanford held on to win in the Pac-12. Tough to win on the road in the Pac-12. Very strong conference. I mean, obviously on Thursday night, UCLA beat Arizona State, smoked them. Hundley is back in the Heisman conversation. And also, how about Georgia's Todd Gurley at running back, dropping a 206 yards career high, 35-32. Give Tennessee credit. Tennessee, you know, it hasn't been it's been a long time since like Jamal Lewis and Peyton Manning days that the program's been good for Tennessee. But their first SEC game, they barely lost. It was 35-32. But Todd Gurley is a legitimate, even though the Heisman seems to always go to quarterbacks now, but for running back, Todd Gurley is, you know, not the greatest sports name, Todd Gurley, but he's Todd he's Todd Manley. Shout out to our boy, Stacey Manley. But, you know, and then also Florida State. State was ready to pull the upset off. Then Florida State and Winston, who – I want to ask you this. Let me finish breaking this down, but I want to give you the platform to talk about where you think this kid is at mentally. But 56-41, Florida State comes back to beat NC State. Big comeback, and you know their talented receiver, Benjamin, went to the NFL. Well, they got another one in Rashard Greene, who's a beast. But and Greene put up stupid stats, 125, a touchdown, 11 receptions. He you know, he's a Heisman guy, but Winston – oh, my gosh, 365, four TDs. The two interceptions is what had NC State close. But let me ask you this. If you're an NFL owner or GM and you see how Winston is coddled, protected, his behavior, his off-the-field issues and mistakes, would you say, I'll draft him anyway and I'll fix him? Or in this day and age, would somebody advise him to say, you know what, either get the heck out of college and go to the NFL or stay another year and try to mature? Like, where do you ride on that side of the fence with Jameis Winston?
I think he needs to get out and go pro. And the reason I say that is because, you know how when you have extreme talent like that, you also have extreme you have the possibility of getting hurt. And, of course, we don't want to see that and kill his chances in the program. But, you know, he's a rare talent. And I laugh when I hear people talking about him because what was one of the highs like that doesn't have a head case problem? All of them have been coddled since high school or you know, peewee. You know, wherever they played, they've been heralded wherever they go. He just has a problem understanding that he needs to you know, he's a young kid. I mean, what is he, a sophomore now? Going into junior?
Redshirt sophomore, yeah. So he would be like a junior, yeah.
Okay, so he's talking about Florida State, is all football, and he's the top dog on the campus.
Yeah, so there's nothing real. There's no sense of reality or normalcy anyway.
No. I think that if people would go to Florida State and see how much football is for that school, and if you were in his shoes, and you under a microscope, you know, it's easy for us to say as grown men what you shouldn't be doing. But this is a young guy, and also we got to remember that his college career, he's not going to have a full. He shouldn't be in there. He shouldn't be there longer than after this year. But you know, when you're in college, what are your memories? Because when you get to the pros, it's a job. At least now it's still fun for him. You know, so
right.
I'm like, you know,
so is that why? Is it fun stealing crab legs in college? I guess so. Yeah, you know, we all put a steak in a pocket up at Sullivan. I mean, you know, took a CD down in Maryland, you know, from Kemp Hill or whatever. You know, I bought enough of them. They could have gave me a couple of free ones. So,
but I think that, you know, what is he doing? A lot of childish things. When he gets on the field, what is he doing on the field? He's playing like a grown man out there. And, you
good
know,
point. And that's what Ray says he needs to get out of there, that he doesn't need to be in college, and, you know, things will change in the NFL. I just, the only reason why I say it, though, is because when there are serious allegations of rape or date rape, and then after that, you don't sort of go straight and narrow, and then you still have the crab legs, you still have the cursing out a woman, or, you know, saying the B word in the student union or in the cafeteria, and then you got something else getting suspended from the baseball team. That's kind of weird to me. Like, at some point, you would kind of chill out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it almost makes me think, you know, are you a little bugged out in the head a little bit? I don't know. Maybe I'm just being, you know.
Well, we also
don't
know if he's pledging. We don't know if he's pledging a fraternity. You know,
a
lot of these, you know, and I could, you know, let's think about what he's doing. To do something in a public setting like that, that sounds like a pledge prank or some, you know, they have him doing something like that because they can't really do to him what they would do to other people that are pledging.
Okay, good point, right. They can't necessarily,
you know,
damage his hearing or lash his back. I mean, we know in Maryland some of the scandals, with pledging, man. We, you know, obviously we were on CBS News when we were at school. It got kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, that, you know, that's a good perspective. I didn't think about that, so I give you credit for bringing that up. That's very true. So, we'll leave college football. Let's throw in some beats. You know, the end of September. We're going in October, so I'm going to throw this on. We're going to get ready to come back and talk MLB playoffs. See who O likes in the wild card games, too. Give Ray's picks and my picks. Some teams that haven't been in there since 85 or, you know, and then Pirates were the first time for last year. They're back again. We'll be right back. Ray, hey, Jay, special host. Join him. Listen to the rhythm.
Do you remember back in September, all the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all? A celebration in September, y'all. A celebration. Do you remember back in September, all the good times and lots of fun in September, y'all? A celebration in September, y'all. A celebration.
September's here and it's the end of the summer. Back to school or to work, for some it's the bummer. For others it's a new year and time to atone. Buy some new gear or a cell phone. Labor Day parade, what island is you from?
Yeah, man. We're back, Ray Tay, today. You like that, right? Labor Day parade, what island is you from? Come on,
that's
all
right.
I know. What island is you that's from, all?
Guyana, boy.
Guyana, yeah, man. I got the Bahamian blood, you know. So, I mean, that's, hey, September, man. It is a great month, and I think we all know it's the start of the new year. Back to school for the kids, you know, it's a spiritual new year for, you know, people of Jewish faith, but it is like a new beginning, you know, summer ends and the fall, the leaves, kids back to school, and you've got meaningful baseball, football, college football, basketball on the horizon. I think we all know fall is the king of the sports world. We love March Madness in America, but there's nothing like playoff baseball, the brand new start of the NBA season, NFL, and college football. So this is a good time. So Tuesday, I mean, now yesterday, great things happened. Jordan Zimmerman pitches a no-hitter for the first time for the Nationals in their history. We almost had play-in games, but the Cardinals, A's, and Tigers all won, so that didn't happen. And shout out to Seattle Mariners. They played great, pushed it to the last game just a little too late. But game one in the AL wild card, the Oakland A's are at the Kansas City Royals. You got Lester against Shields. John Lester against James Shields. This is going to be a good matchup. Now, what's interesting now, it used to just be one wild card team. Baseball switched it to two, so this is like a play-in game. And then the winner of this plays the number one seed in the AL, which is the Los Angeles Angels. When I look at this game, now Ray sent in his pick. He's got the Kansas City Royals. I know he believes in them. I think, we both talked about Bob Melvin on the show, great coach, but I just think the A's, when they traded Cespedes to the Red Sox, they gave up too much offense. I think Kansas City at home is going to take advantage of it. I do like Lester pitching, but I just think the Royals on a roll. So I also think KC will win this AL wild card. What do you think? Oh, you like the A's finally crawling into the playoffs barely after having a great season and then collapsing? Or do you like the Kansas City Royals, who first time back in since 1985? You remember George Brett, right, Hall?
Oh yeah. I think the Kansas City is going to take him, and I think that Oakland was great to get there, but it's time for their door to close.
Yeah,
I think it's enough time for them.
I feel you. The only thing you worry about, right, is with baseball, you're as good as your next day starter. And Lester has been a pretty mean pitcher all through the season. But I just think the Royals at home, Gordon and some of their hitters, they get some timely hitting. We'll see what happens. It's going to be fun. I don't know if the Royals win, though. They can match up with the Angels, with Pujols and Trout and all those guys. I mean, they won, 98, 99 games this year. They had a great season. And then, of course, on Friday we'll talk about the Orioles and Tigers matchup. So the AL, that's the AL setup. So the winner of this, A's and Royals, will face the Angels, and then the Tigers go to Baltimore starting on Thursday in the division series. And then, so that's for Tuesday. Then Wednesday in the National League, you open up with the San Francisco Giants. So the Cardinals and Giants have won a couple of World Series in the last couple of years. Very clutch veteran teams. But the Giants are on the road. They're going to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have made it second year in a row. The Pirates have got Valdez pitching. And the San Francisco Giants have got Bumgarner, I can never say this guy's name, who I like him. He was starting beef last week with Yasiel Puig when they played the Dodgers. I don't know. Rabe sent in his pick. He's got the Giants. I think Bumgarner is a great pitcher, and so I would favor the Giants. But I just think the Pirates, I saw them out here in Arizona, went to a game. I like Russell Martin and some of the veterans in their lineup. And I think Andrew McCutchen, who was last year's MVP, would be close to winning it again this year. The brother can ball out. But I just think the Pirates will find a way to beat the Giants. What do you think about this one, O? You like the Giants and their veteran lineup with Buster Posey? or do you think the Pirates at home could hold it down?
I think the Pirates at home hold it down. I like the Pirates. I always like them a little bit, so I always have a little favor for them. But I think they can hold it down and win it out.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a good, exciting game. That's Wednesday. And so the winner of this plays against National League's number one seed, which is the Washington Nationals.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, D.C. Listen, right now, can we just say, besides the Redskins, in the Baltimore, D.C., Virginia area, it is popping in sports. The anticipation of the Wizards, who look like they're going to be a great team this year with the veteran leadership of Paul Pierce coming and those guards and Gortat. Then you've got the Orioles balling, the Nationals balling. Both of them are number one and number two seeds. The Ravens are 3-1. We'll talk about that in a minute. So right now down there, you guys must be going crazy in that area. The sports is just off the chain, which is good because they're doing nothing in the White House and Congress and Bolton County politics. It's just a mess. You know, we just go to war and just try to bomb ISIS off the planet, but we can't agree to vote on anything for any don't get me started. We need to take their paychecks away. But so now the winner of San Francisco and the Pirates goes to play the Nats, and then the other divisional series is the Cardinals at the Dodgers. So that's going to be fun to watch, and we'll talk about that more on Friday. So baseball is back. The playoffs are here. So let me say, I got the Pirates too. I think the Pirates will win. I don't know if they can go ahead and beat the Nationals. Nationals have some good pitching with Strasburg and Gio Gonzalez and the boys, but definitely should be interesting. So
I think the Nationals are going to mop up whoever comes to them anyway. There's a lot of hunger in that team, and they feel like, and they just, you see how they're playing. They're playing possessed right now. So that's, I think they're going to do big things this year.
No, definitely. So, hold on one second. Elijah? Okay. So, yeah. But anyway, when I go into the NFL, I think what's going to be really interesting is, so we'll break down week four. We talked about the Cowboys' big win over the Saints. I think the Saints are in trouble at 1-3. They do have a lot of home games. They've only had one home game. They barely beat Minnesota on that one. And the Cowboys, they still got a lot of division games. But over the weekend, some key matchups and some key games. I talk about my team first. I was distraught and pissed off about the Steelers losing. Glennon, threw the touchdown to Vincent Jackson to get the win. Lovie Smith admits that he made a mistake and McCown is a professional backup, which, after you've been in the league 9, 10, 11 years, you are what you are. Same thing with Kyle Orton.
Yep.
He comes in for E.J. Manuel, but he's a backup. And so McCown is a backup and gives the young kid, Glennon's got a cannon. He actually played pretty good for them last year. And he led them to victory over my Steelers in Pittsburgh. So big road win for Tampa. I thought that was impressive. And the one that I mentioned to Ray on Friday that I thought would happen, and it did. Minnesota, Teddy B. I like Teddy Bridgewater.
Ooh, he's a monster. Yeah.
So, were you impressed? And also, what do you think about the Falcons? I think the Falcons are overrated. Now, they did have more injuries, so they had a tight end playing left tackle, I think, or doing something. 41-28, Minnesota and Matt Asiata. Oh, God, this guy's playing some football. What do you think about the Vikings, and are they headed in the right direction? They got a new stadium coming up, and maybe without Adrian Peterson, Teddy Bridgewater might be the new face of the franchise.
I think he probably will, but it what's scary about that is that if whatever happens to the Peterson thing, they're going to hold on to him. So this is going to be an indicator of how strong they're going to be even next year to me, because – then you're going to have him back. And, Teddy Bridgewater, that's the face of their franchise right now. He was looking good in preseason, but he shocked me what he did. And
I was impressed.
He looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it was 19 for 30, had a couple, had to run, scramble for a touchdown, but he just moved the chains. And, Greg Jennings is not Greg Jennings of Green Bay days, but he's a savvy veteran. Kyle Rudolph is hurt. Rhett Ellison caught a touchdown from Teddy B. And then they've got Cordero Patterson, who I think he's got a little Randy Moss in him in terms of that burst. And, they need another receiver there. but and probably another offensive lineman, but they have potential. I don't know, O. I got a funny feeling that we might not see Adrian Peterson back in Minnesota. I hope you're right, but I think it might be he might be done. I don't know. I really don't.
I think we're not going to see Ray Rice in Baltimore anymore. But I think that
he's already been terminated. The question is, in the NFL on another team.
I think that somebody can get him for cheap. Somebody can get him for real cheap.
Yeah. So let's talk about this though. Let's talk about with Baltimore and that game, because I think the blood and the goggles were out, and the old man sticking up for us old men, number 35 years old, he's like, hold on, playa. You should have kept me, because if you would have kept me, you could be going to the Super Bowl with Calvin Benjamin and Steve Smith. Then they would have had a real team with the Panthers. Oren, for the life of me, I don't understand these owners and GMs. What sense does it make when you have your best season ever and you look like you have a really good team to then go ahead and get rid of every receiver you have? Cam's coming off ankle surgery. You knew this. And then you take away the clutch, go-to veteran, explosive receiver. If you would have matched up Steve Smith with Calvin Benjamin and then signed Kotchery and Avant, I'd be like, wow, you got something. You know what I mean? You would have something. They got three clowns, excuse me for saying this, y'all, at running back, but none of them can stay healthy. Now D'Angelo Williams is hurt again. Tolbert's out. Stewart's out. They got this kid Reese and then Fozzie Whitaker, you know, no relation to Fozzie Bear. And it's just like, it's a mess. And Steve Smith, I mean, what did he get? Like a 135, two touchdowns? I mean, come on. I was so happy for Steve Smith because you know what? You don't get rid of, and that's what a lot of these guys have been talking about with all these issues, and Howie Long and Chris Carter brought it up. The young guys need veteran leadership in the locker room to mentor them, to teach them how to wear a suit, to write a check and deposit a check in a bank, to be a man, to just talk to the media, come to work, you know, just handle your BI. And I think sometimes, you know, you can get that in these rookie symposiums that they have and this and that, but the best way is every day in that locker room with the 53 men to have an old savvy veteran teach you. You know, these guys are coming in 21, 22 years old. They're babies. They don't own nothing. And then got millions of dollars. So, yeah, he gets 7 receptions, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And let me ask you, is Joe Flacco back? I mean, now that he's got Owen Daniels, Steve Smith, Torrey Smith, you know, the running backs are a little bit of a mess. Shout out to Justin Forsett. He played pretty good. But what do you think about, you know, obviously the Panthers are in trouble. But what do you think about the Ravens, 3-1, and Joe Flacco?
I would say one thing. Ravens have shocked me as far as a team to handle all the drama that they had to deal with. And to be balling like they are. I mean, Joe Flacco looks like, you know, this is why they cut him that fat check. He looks like he's earning his check. But the best, he gets the GM move of the year grabbing Steve Smith. And I think that I hope this is a wake-up call to NFL that, like you said, you can't – these people look at the numbers, your age, and not at your talent. And they need to stop that because, Steve Smith is what? He's number 3 in receiving right now?
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's funny that you say that, right? Because look at how they went downhill after they just got and discarded Anquan Boldin, who went to the Niners and got busy. And they got rid of him because he was old. Well, they brought in Steve Smith, who's just like of Anquan Boldin type. And now they got a legit offense. Because if we're honest, we love Torrey Smith, yo Terps. But Torrey Smith is more of a, you know, he runs the deep route. You know, he doesn't run the whole route tree. And so now when you've got Steve Smith, Torrey Smith, Owen Daniels, and, you know, if they would have had a healthy Pitta, they got the young kid Marlon Brown, they have more balance. And so, and then you have Flacco doing what he needs to do with a lesser running game. Guess what?
Yeah.
Throw it 31 times. He gets 327 yards, 3 touchdowns, and the best stat for these quarterbacks, and this is why I love Russell Wilson so much, 0 interceptions. So the Ravens are looking good in the AFC. I wanted to ask you this, because right now, early candidates for MVP – you have, and it hasn't happened for a long time since, like, from the defensive side, who was it? There's only been 3 non-offensive players. Mark Mosley, the kicker for the Redskins, Alan Page, used to play for the Vikings, and Lawrence Taylor, I think. So, but J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans, 3-1. and J.J. Watt. Oh, this dude. Doesn't he remind you of, like, the video games, right? Like, he swats balls. He's throwing running backs behind the line of scrimmage. 23-17, Houston wins at home over Buffalo. You know, that's why they want to bench an E.J. Manuel. But J.J. Watt, Andrew Luck, and DeMarco Murray would be the three guys who I would say right now are pacing the way for MVP. Because you got the Texans win, but the Colts, who got jerked by the referees a couple of weeks ago on Monday night against the Eagles, the Colts spanked Tennessee 41-17. Do you know Andrew Luck is on pace, Oren, for over 5,200 yards and 52 touchdowns? So basically like Peyton Manning season of last year. That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the number one quarterback in the NFL, and he's doing it. So.
Yeah, and I would I'd probably add him into the MVP category. He's in that mix right now too. Yeah,
393 and four touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah, and he's one of those meat and potato type dudes. He bring his lunch pail and that's it. He just go to work and go home.
And how about Ray, and like you said before, Oren, look, another savvy veteran, future Hall of Famer. Let's say it right. Reggie Wayne comes back off the injury. He's got seven receptions for 119 yards and a touchdown. You got to love Reggie Wayne from the U, you know, but he just keeps on plugging. And so the Colts keep on doing their thing, a game behind the Texans, but that division is going to be in the AFC South a battle. There's not much to say about the Jets, right? The Lions just took care of them. And, you know, I mean, Megatron was hurt. They throw in Jeremy Ross, and he burns the – I mean, Stafford's passing yesterday was like – But, you know, don't you feel bad for Geno? And even Rex Ryan. I think Rex is a heck of a coach. But if you don't give him cornerbacks in his system and then Geno doesn't have receivers, how are the Jets going to win?
There's no weapons. They really are they bring in knives to the gunfight all the time, and you're not going to win. You know, and I feel bad for him. He's a good quarterback, but who does he have really to rely on?
No, nothing. You know. He's got a rookie tight end who I like, Jason Morrow, who's got potential. Eric Decker, if we're honest, is a number two receiver, not a number one. Jeremy Curley is a three. And so, you know, and then the running backs, I like Ivory and Johnson, but they aren't so effective if you don't have any receivers. But that defense for the Jets is tough, that front seven, but they got nothing in the secondary. The secondary is just a mess. Not much to say about the Raiders. They're 0-4. Dolphins wake up against them. So we got to look at the big game yesterday, two of them. The Green Bay Packers go to Chicago, and, you know, I love what Rodgers said, R-E-L-A-X to the fans. Relax. He went in there, like the gunslinger that he is. Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. Ripped it up to Jordy Nelson. Eddie Lacy kind of woke up a little bit. 38-17. But the problem is, it's the same Jay Cutler. He's got every weapon in the thing. He can throw the ball. He's got Bennett, Santonio Holmes is a third receiver, Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte. I mean, you can't have better weapons. And then what does he do? He throws, three interceptions like in the third quarter? And it's a wrap.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really don't. I mean, that's what Jay Cutler does, though. That's always been him. I mean, he's a great quarterback, but he also tries to push too many things. And
Everybody's calling him the new Romo.
Yeah.
The new Romo. And Matt Forte woke up, who has been struggling early in the season. He had 122 yards rushing. So it's not like the Bears didn't have, you know, production. I was happy in fantasy football. For me, Martellus Bennett got busy. 9 receptions for 134 yards didn't get a TD. He almost had a touchdown before the half, which kind of messed the Bears up. So the Packers wake up. They're 2-2. They got lucky to win that Jet game a couple of weeks ago. But look at this. Randall Cobb gets 113. Jordy Nelson gets 108. 52 yards for the young tight end, Richard Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was out there playing. It's like he was like, we played in my backyard. 22 for 28 for 302. This guy's so accurate. Would you say, honestly, let's not talk about surrounding rosters, just actually taking the ball from the center, hiking it, and throwing it. Aaron Rodgers, to me, is probably the best quarterback in the league right now.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely agree with that.
Definitely. I mean, he can run.
And
he
also
throw it all over.
He needs to extend the play, too, with his feet.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him so deadly, too.
Oh, he's a beast. He's definitely
I don't think anybody
beast.
Can throw on the run as much as accurate as he can.
Yeah, no,
you know?
You're right. I mean, he threw one of the passes I saw yesterday. He threw to Jordy Nelson in the corner. I was like, what? I mean, it was like, yo, it's crazy. Sometimes it's hard to believe sometimes just how talented, because people don't realize, right? When you know, growing up, we'd play football and you play with your boys or whatever. Maybe you get a good 4-on-4, 5-on-5, whatever. But when you're playing 11-on-11 and you got men that are 300 pounds or 260, 280, and they're running 4-4s and 4-5s, 4-7s, and they're coming down, beating on you, trying to hit you, and you still have got to focus, throw on the run or step up in the pocket and throw it 20, 30 yards down the field, and you've got to do it in less than 5 seconds, that's like some real pressure and chaos. And Rodgers makes it look like it's nothing. You know, see, that's what I think fans sometimes forget. We take for granted how amazing these athletes are. We've never seen defenses like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. You're right.
I mean, as great as Lawrence Taylor was back in the 80s, I mean, not to say that he still wouldn't be great in this era, because I'm sure he would be, but let's be honest, these guys are like, I mean, they're huge. I mean, look at Jadeveon Clowney. He hasn't even played yet. But when he comes back and he's healthy with him and J.J. Watt and Brian Cushing, that Texans defense is going to be ridiculous. Oh my goodness.
Well, look at J.J. Watt. He runs 80 yards, don't even run out of breath. I mean, you've seen something like that, almost 300-pound dude running like that.
I got to tell you, he's to me, he's got a little Reggie White in him. That's how impressive he is. And nobody throws around a Reggie White name. You know what I mean? Reggie was him and Bruce Smith were dominant defensive linemen. Reggie White was like, you know, as they say, he'd be like, here comes the Lord, and smack you over the head. You know, I love that. The pastor, the preacher, Reggie White. But, you know, we got to give credit where credit is due. J.J. Watt is a bad man. He really is. So I think that was the smart pick, you know, for the young head coach there, bringing in Clowney. Because guess what? You can get a quarterback next season. And I think that's what they're thinking. They're not worried about Fitzpatrick. Let him just, you know, he's got Hopkins and Johnson. And, oh, by the way, DeAndre Hopkins is the number one receiver there now over Andre Johnson. Hopkins is balling out. You got Arian Foster. You know, they don't have Owen Daniels anymore, tight end. They got the kid Graham. But, you know, Bill O'Brien is building, you know, I think sometimes teams, they rush to build their team. Like, oh, we need a quarterback. Let's get a quarterback. Well, wait, don't just get a quarterback if it's not the right guy. Go get an offensive tackle. Go get a defensive line. Look, the game is in the trenches. If you can't sack the quarterback or protect the quarterback, you ain't doing nothing.
Yep.
So
kudos
to the Texans, you know, for doing it right. The Cowboys slowly developing. And that's my issue with, you know, some of these other teams. I don't know what Tennessee's doing. They're going to need a quarterback next year. Jake Locker's not the answer. Charlie Whitehurst came in. Locker didn't play this week because of his wrist. But they're going to need a quarterback. Probably the Jets. We know the Rams because Sam Bradford could never stay healthy. So right there, those three teams could be easily Winston, Mariota, and Brett Hundley from UCLA. You know, but I just think it's I'll tell you, though, talking about Bridgewater, and then we're going to talk about this game. First of all, another kid for the MVP, the fourth candidate, Phillip Rivers. The Chargers are 3-1. They should have beat the Cardinals.
Too.
Yep, they should have beat the Cardinals week one, but they took care of Seattle, 33-14 over the Jaguars. But in the beginning of that game, I got to say, Blake Bortles, he's an NFL player. He showed me, him and Bridgewater, that even with lesser talent around them on their team, both of the teams got it right in terms of who they drafted a quarterback. Bortles and Bridgewater are for real, you know?
Yeah.
Did you like
that
stuff?
And I think that's what you see going
kids?
On the NFL. It's a lot of talent, but the quarterback position, you know, you see, even when you see people with the talent in the arm, they can't get it together. And it's hard to, you look at it, it's like you name those, if you can't stay healthy, that's one big part of it. And if you can't handle the pressure, you just become a backup, you know, your number two person. So, you know, that's why I say to me, Winston has that. that he has. He has all the intangibles.
Right. And I think all three of those guys will make it in the NFL. Mariota, Winston, and Hundley. I really do.
Yeah.
I think all three of them are sort of the next three in college football that I think can either be first-round picks or will start for franchises that have, you know, three or four teams in a league still need quarterbacks. Those will be the next guys to house those spots. Now, Blake Bortles, 253. He had a touchdown, two picks. You know, 29 for 37, not bad. And remember, Toby Gerhardt's the starting running back. You know, he ran for 32 yards, finally got his first touchdown. But, you know, Gerhardt's not a legit number one. He was backing up Peterson for a bit. Denard Robinson, who used to play for Michigan, is sort of like a little sidekick, scat back, 9 for 25. So they don't really have a running game. They're still working on the offensive line, right? And, you know, the coach, Bradley, came from Seattle. He's a good defensive coach, so they're going to build up the defense. Offensively, they don't have Mercedes Lewis anymore at tight end. So they got Clay Harbor coming in. They got this young kid, Allen Hurns. They got another young kid, Allen Robinson. They got Cecil Shorts, who's a veteran, is coming back. And, you know, they still, and Marquise Lee is a little banged up. He hasn't, you know, developed yet. So Bortles doesn't have the talent around him yet, but I think they got the right guy. He's got a little Ben Roethlisberger in him. Might be more athletic, but, you know, he's, like, big like that. And so kudos to them. I think, you know, I have to laugh. My five-year-old William is a Jaguars fan, you know, because he likes the animal and the color of their jerseys. I'm like, oh, boy, you picked a rough road for fandomhood, buddy. I'm going to stick with the Steelers. The Jaguars have never won Nathan. But it's cute. So, you know, so we talked about the Sunday night game. I wanted to save the best for last, which was, you know, your team. And I think what we talked about on Friday, me, you, and Ray, when you called in, you know, we said that really, as good as the Eagles are, for them to travel to the West Coast and face a team that is probably, even with all the injuries, just, you know, the best talent on the field in the NFL. I think pound for pound, you look at any roster, Seahawks and Broncos are right there. But then, you know, without question, Niners are top three or four in terms of their roster. I mean, offensive line, defensive line. Justin Smith is like a, you know, an old veteran, J.J. Watt. He's just a monster up there in the line.
Oh, yeah.
You know, once Bowman and Alden Smith get back, you know, this team will be fine. But I will say this. Davis can't stay healthy. I don't know what's up with him. But didn't I call it on the show? Frank Gore and Stevie Johnson. And Stevie Johnson caught a beautiful touchdown pass, 26-21. The Niners hold on to win. They smacked Foles around so he couldn't, you know, lead that drive down. Kaepernick, 218, two touchdowns, a pick. Definitely nothing impressive. You know, sort of like Russell Wilson's stats. But if you get the W, your stats don't matter that much. The most important stat of the game, you know, for me was, Oren, 24 carries for Frank Gore.
Yes,
that's what
round
you gotta
do. Pound.
Every game,
round
you should get 20 to 25 carries. If you give Carlos Hyde 10 and you give Gore 20, 23, that's fine. But pound the rock. You got a great offensive line. He had 24 for 119. Well, you know what that does? Mm-hmm. That keeps that Philly offense off the field. And away the Niners go, and that's why they won the game. Anquan Boldin, 5 for 62. That's not impressive, but you win the game with running the ball and good defense. And did you see what they did to LeSean McCoy?
Oh, goodness, yeah. Did the handcuffs out on him.
So he had 10 carries for 17 yards, oh.
Uh-huh. And that, to me, the beauty of the game was that the big part is that, you know, Philly has a great offense. And for us to start and shutting them down, I'm happy about that. I'm like, I'm seeing this now, and I'm like, wait till Bowman and Smith come back. Then we're really going to see what we can do. And, you know, let them hold, we can hold it down and just keep it. You know, I think Kaepernick's going through some issues. I think I said on Friday. His issue, like Crabtree, was a little banged up. Every time, that's why I like to see sometimes. Even though I love Crabtree too, but he gets too focused on Crabtree. He just zones on him all the time. And when he doesn't have him, it works out better for us in a sense. You know?
Right, because
you
also have
the ball.
Yeah, you got Gore, but then you have Bolden, you've got Brandon Lloyd, Stevie Johnson. I mean, when you think about those four receivers plus Vernon Davis, that's the best wide receiver core in the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Crabtree, he might not be the best number one, but he's a good number one. And then when you throw in Bolden, Lloyd, and Stevie Johnson, I mean, I don't even know who's 2, 3, or 4 between those three guys. They're all no joke. You know, forget Brandon Lloyd was a top 5 receiver just 3, 4 years ago.
That's right. Yeah.
You
got
know?
Talent.
So,
that's
a lot of talent. And I think, honestly, as the season develops and Kaepernick starts to connect with those four, and then you still have Gore and Hyde and Vernon Davis, you guys could – I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this was the year you won the Super Bowl. You just got to keep it together mentally. And I don't like the stuff that's coming out where Deion Sanders is saying guys in the locker room are not, you know, believing or getting tired of hearing the coach or this and that. Let me tell the Niners something. Just a couple years ago, you had talent and did nothing for Singletary. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So
now
Jim Harbaugh comes into town, and all he's done is gotten you to the NFC Championship. So to me, shut the heck up, freaking play ball, follow what he's telling you, because he was a quarterback in the NFL that almost got to the Super Bowl and almost upset my Steelers in the AFC Championship. When it was just him and Marshall Faulk and they had nobody, the Colts had a nothing team, and he played good for the Bears back in the days. Jim Harbaugh, to me, is a scrappy leader that I would believe in. The worst thing for the Niners to do, is to let Jim Harbaugh get away and wind up going to coach his alma mater at the University of Michigan.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a death sentence for us right now. I mean, what he's done in the 4 years he's been there has been remarkable, hands down. I think they're going through just the issues of, remember, they don't have a lot of their key players. You got the issues with McDonald going on. You got grumbling more so because they feel like they were going away from their identity. And I think they got that back going against Philly, and he just needs – but sometimes their game plan shifts from the ground and pound. If they stay doing that, I think you'll see everybody, you know, gel the way they want to gel. I think that, you know, you look at a squad where – you have all these different receivers, but really our blueprint is ground and pound. And so, you know, Kaepernick is dangerous when he can you got somebody carrying, you got 24 carries from your running backs, but now he can throw the ball, he can run. That's what makes him the most dangerous.
He scrambled for that first down.
Yeah.
He's clutch. So let me ask you this, before we get to Philly, because I want to talk about them, but with your team, do you feel confident with the combination of Carlos Hyde and Gore? Are you concerned about your secondary? Obviously, Culliver and Bethea are looking pretty good. Young Jimmy Ward needs to continue to develop and step up. What are you thinking about, your team as a whole moving forward?
I think that, I feel good that, you know, I think that we should have beat the game. Like I tell you, that Chicago game really let me down because we should have had that game. But it was a wake-up call, and so we came back in this game. I think that, you know, every team needs that wake-up call. Just don't get up. It's still the NFL. You can't just get up on a couple points and think you're going to win. I think that was a good wake-up call for them. But I think that Frank Gore is trying to show, just like you see Steve Smith and all these other veterans, give me the ball. I know what to do with it. And, you know, give him the ball. Carlos Hyde is the future. But right now, it's Frank Gore's team. Give him the rock and let him run and do what he does best. And he's a leader. And, you know, I think I feel good about our chances. I just think that we got to make it – if we keep a winning record by midseason, oh, goodness, the lights are going to start getting dim when we get our voice back.
Yeah, you know, I would feel confident if I was you too, because guess what? Yesterday, Philly scored all their points off of special teams, really, the defensive touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then Darren Sproles, who, by the way, the Saints miss him so much. Now, he didn't do anything running the ball, but that punt return was ridiculous. And then he had, he only had one – he had a couple of receptions, but one carry for 11 yards rushing. Now, Philadelphia, I still like the Eagles. I think, Macklin is tough. I just think going to San Francisco is a hard place to win. But I think the Eagles could still win the NFC East, although they're going to have a dogfight with the Cowboys. But I like the young receiver Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt, Zach Ertz, Riley Cooper with Macklin, and, you know, now Sproles, and you still got Selleck and McCoy. Mm-hmm. McCoy has got to get back into the rhythm. I don't know what's going on. Obviously, the Niners defense, but he played bad last week when he got hurt and didn't do anything. But to have 17 yards on 10 carries, even against the Niners, that's bad.
Oh, yeah. I think he may be hurt, and we don't know. I think that's somewhat, you know, how the type of player he is. But I just think that the one thing with the Eagles that I don't think – I think that they coming out they rely too much on one half, and you have two halves of football. You can't keep on thinking you're going to just come back every second half. The later it gets, the stronger the teams are going to get, the more gel they get, and you can't rely on that. And I just think that they just – you know, I think they came out with a little bit too far of a burst, but at this point, you know, look at these other teams that are growing. I mean, let's not forget the Giants. I think the Giants, there's no sleep on them. After that last game,
no,
I think that they're going to have a
–
yeah, I think that, you know, and that tight end they got to now, he's going to get some touchdowns. It's going to be difficult to stop a 6'6" tight end that can run, you know.
Damn.
And I just think that they're going to be in a tough – you know, NFC's is always tough. But they're going to have to show and prove. And the only way, like you said, the only way they're going to really to separate themselves, McCoy got to get back to Shady McCoy. If he's not, it's not going to happen for him this year because he's too much of the – he's too much of a variable for them to be the X factor to win a game. You know, he demoralizes defenses when he's on his game.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, look, we got to move forward. We got Monday night and then the Thursday night prediction. So, tonight we close off week four with a very interesting game. They say Jamaal Charles is back, although I still like Niles Davis because that kid has been just doing it. He's got, 55 carries, 214 yards, and 3 touchdowns. But if Jamaal Charles is there, he's special. Their tight end Kelsey's been tough. This is going to be surprisingly a heck of a game. I think the Chiefs at home, they're tough. That crowd is hyped up. The Royals are in the playoffs. You know, the Chiefs, the fans get going. The only benefit, and I think the reason why the Patriots will win, number one, they have been running the ball. Ridley has been doing okay. A little bit of Vereen. And then you got Edelman and Gronk. Now, Gronk is playing more, they said, tonight than he has played yet so far this season. So that's a positive. I don't like their offensive line. I think they did Brady a disservice. I just baffled by the Belichick, and why would you trade an offensive lineman, your best, you know, Logan Mankin, to Tampa Bay right before the season to mess up Brady? Everybody knows Brady can't run. If you don't have a clean pocket, he can't do nothing. But tonight, I think the Patriots go to Kansas City and win, I mean, a tough game. I'm going to say Gronkowski kicks a field goal at the end, and the Patriots win 24-23 in a slugfest. I mean, this is going to be an entertaining, good game. What do you think about tonight's Monday Night Football matchup?
I got it. 28-20, Kansas City.
Ooh, you're going for it.
I think that Kansas City, I think New England doesn't know what they're doing yet. I think that Brady's in a little bit of a funk right now, and he's feeling that lack of protection. And, you know, like anybody, like you said, he's a 10-man out there. He can destroy you, but if he can't move. And you put him on the ground a couple of times, he doesn't like that. And they're going to get to him.
And then on the other side, Alex Smith can actually – he's leading the NFL in rushing as a quarterback, you know, for the quarterback position. So Alex Smith is very mobile. I got to give him credit. He's you know, I don't want him to do well because I'm going against him in fantasy tonight. But, you know, we got to always throw in the fantasy aspect of it all. You know, our listeners like fantasy football. We play fantasy football. So, you know, that's going to be fun. Okay, so you got 28-20 KC. I got 24-23 Patriots in a close one. So let's move forward because we won't be back to Friday to Thursday Night Football. You got Minnesota traveling for open up week 5 on CBS. The Vikings at 2-2 go to the Packers at 2-2. It's not yet known if Bridgewater will play. You know, the MRI was negative. The x-rays were negative. Might be ankle sprain, high ankle sprain. I just think it's too fast to come back off of that on a Thursday night. I think Ponder will probably wind up starting. It'd be the smart thing. You don't want to injure your new quarterback just because of a Thursday night game, even though it's division on the road. Either way, I think it's not AP. It's Asiata and the young kid McKinnon, who I like, Jarek McKinnon. But I think Green Bay is on a hot streak now. They're going to play better. They got the swag back. And I think they open it up. I think they beat Minnesota. Green Bay wins Thursday Night Football 34-17. The Packers.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I got a little closer than that, but I was going to say 30-24. But I think that I don't even matter if Bridgewater was healthy or not. They're not going to beat the Packers the way they're playing right now, I don't believe. Like, they just don't. Aaron Rodgers is, like you said, a bad man. He's going to show them why he's a bad man.
Okay. Well, listen, O, thanks for jumping on with us at Ray and Tate today. You know, Oren Luke jumped in with Eric Taylor, and we did it. And shout out to Ray. He'll be back on Friday with a big special announcement. And, yeah, man, hey, thanks for listening and talking sports with friends. Watch some good football tonight. And the baseball playoffs start tomorrow.
That's right. Out. Shout out to Ray.
Yeah, man. Thanks, O. Great job, man.
All right.
Beat right at that. Caught up, needing some tissue.